by the county board. It includes audit staff, includes DAS fiscal, DAS benefits, labor relations, corporation council, county board staff, county audit staff. So it's a wide cross-section of the county. We've also recently had Ms. Broussard from the county executive's office joining us for some of our meetings as well. This report was primarily authored by Mr. Ruggini. I don't want to take the credit for it, but it does summarize a number of changes. And everything in this report is contingent on the state collective bargaining law becoming law. Right now it is not, as everyone knows, but everything in here is contingent on that. And if that law does not become law, nothing in here will happen. None of this will become effective. However, we believe it's important that you take action now in advance of that, because any delay, as with the retiree medical action you took previously, can have substantial costs, especially with the health plan changes. So we want to be able to move as soon as humanly possible in terms of financial savings, and so that's why we're here in advance of the effective date of the law. We're focusing primarily on AFSCME, because AFSCME does not have a contract, and the collective bargaining law can apply changes like these to AFSCME immediately upon the effective date of the law. The other five unions that do have contracts, the non-public safety unions, we cannot make these changes during their contracts, which run out at the end of the year. You will be able to make these kinds of same changes, and assuming you follow your adopted policy, you will make these same changes effective 1/1/12 for those other five unions. What you have, first of all, I'm going to summarize them very broadly because it's a fairly detailed memo, is to apply the 2010 health plan to active AFSCME employees. That was an adopted policy in one of the org units from your adopted budget, and so your policy was to negotiate that change. If the law becomes the law, then you will not have to negotiate it. You can implement it. And so the first piece is to implement the 2010 health plan for AFSCME. The other adopted policy in your budget was the step freeze for non-represented, the one-year step freeze for non-represented employees that you were seeking from your represented employees. This would adopt the one-year step freeze for AFSCME employees upon the effective date of the law. It also has overtime changes. You have an ordinance on overtime that primarily applies to non-represented employees under the FLSA, Fair Labor Standards Act, and the union contracts, in some cases, have more beneficial provisions to employees than are required by federal law. And so, again, upon effective date of the collective bargaining law, this proposal will apply the county ordinance that is applied to non-reps to AFSCME members immediately and to the other five unions as of 1/1/12. A couple examples of what that means. Currently, AFSCME members will receive overtime for hours above an eight-hour day. Under federal law, they only, and under county ordinance, for non-represented employees, they only receive overtime over 40 hours worked in a week. Also, they currently can receive overtime for 40 hours paid. So, for example, someone works 5 days and takes a sixth day of vacation, they get that sixth day as overtime. Under federal law and your ordinance for non-reps, they have to work more than 40 hours to receive overtime. So those are the general changes that are in this resolution and ordinance. In the resolution, there are two other things to point out. Let me back up. You've been handed a revised resolution and ordinance, which Finance Committee passed yesterday. The revisions are basically two. The very last page of the document has changes in the language of the overtime ordinance. Basically, we felt that the way we had drafted it previously was not as clear as it should be, so we took another stab and made it clearer. And so you'll see the excision of what was the new paragraph 5 and now instead a new paragraph 5 and 6. There's no change in what we were doing, it's just a change in the drafting clarity on that provision. The other change is actually in the resolution itself, not in the ordinance. And that is at lines 68 to 71. That resolution relates to the pension contribution that is required under the state collective bargaining law. We have not brought to you yet pension ordinances to adopt that state-required pension contribution. We will be doing that, but they aren't ready yet. The actual report hasn't been done. So those are anticipated. However, we have, with the assistance of the actuary and DAS Fiscal, Mr. Mansky, calculated what we expect the contribution to be for 2011, and it is expected to be 6%. And you'll see that figure then on line 70. And so we added this resolution, this clause of the resolution, to have the county board go on record as saying, we will, of course, do the state-required contributions as required by state law, when required by state law, but we are establishing 6% as the contribution for the rest of this year based on advice of the actuary. That's one half of the actuary required contribution for 2011. It's anticipated that that number will be established in the future in your budget. So for 2012, we expect this fall that you will establish that figure for 2012 and then every year thereafter. So that's why that resolution is added, so that you're on record establishing the rate in advance of the actual ordinances being adopted, in case we our timing gets off. Ms. Paul can speak to the fiscal note.
I just wanted to point out, Madam Chair, Supervisors, there is one error on the fiscal note, so we will be bringing down a fiscal note for you in time for board day. It's on the very last page, item C. It states, of the savings depicted above, $2,096,247. That number is not correct. The actual correct number there is
$2,712,955.
Say that again. Sure, $2,712,955. Basically, and I can just give you, Madam Chair, if you'd like a quick rundown of the fiscal note. Probably the best thing to look at is the table on that last page. What we're showing here is a half a year of savings, so we're assuming that this all gets implemented as of July 1st. So we'd only achieve a half a year's savings. The 2012 column shows you a full year savings, and these are only in regards to DC 48. So with the 2010 healthcare plan design savings, you get about $587,000 this year. Overtime changes, you would get about $583,000 this year. The step freeze is actually split because we'd only see a savings for half a year. The other half would be achieved in 2012. So we'd get about $770,000 this year. This next piece is what we already have budgeted. Our pension contribution of 4% for 2011 is budgeted for everybody. So this would be the actual savings that we would achieve. We also show the unbudgeted piece two lines down, which is the additional 2%, since we have a 2% increase from our 4% to our 6%. So we would achieve an unbudgeted savings of $1.8 million this year. We also show the non-REP unbudgeted pension portion from that 2% jump as well, which is an additional $830,000. And then what we also show here is a recommendation that should the budget repair bill become law, that we would recommend furloughs be rescinded at that point. They would actually be prorated, so assuming a half a year, assuming the bill gets implemented on July 1st. We have 26 furlough days, so we would actually remove 13 from everybody's bank, and everybody would have to take 13 if they hadn't already.
Excuse me, if I can interrupt. That is in the resolution. Line 72 through 75 says that if you adopt this resolution, the policy will be to have a reduced pro rata reduction in furlough days depending on the date of implementation.
And this, Madam Chair, Supervisors, this number here assumes that there's a 13-day reduction. That could change depending on when the bill actually becomes law.
Supervisor Rice and then Supervisor Schmidt. Supervisor Rue.
Thank you. What is the effective date for the implementation of the changes for non-REPs?
Madam Chair, the Supervisor, the non-reps have all of these already apply to the non-reps, except for the increased pension contribution, which will apply once the pension law, the state law, becomes law. But the overtime law already applies to non-reps. The health plan, they're already under a 2011 health plan, and the step freeze already applies to non-reps.
And the Why is the pension contribution delayed?
Because the state collective bargaining law is not in effect yet.
But it doesn't apply to non-reps.
The state collective bargaining law that requires the extra contribution applies to all county employees except for public safety workers.
Would there be any prohibition on us implementing the pension contribution at the same time we do for non-reps, at the same time we do for the other changes?
Madam Chair, if I'm understanding the question correct, the county board has already established a 4% contribution, going up to a 4% contribution for non-reps. You could have picked 10%. I mean, you could have picked, in theory, any number you wanted.
Yeah.
Question is, but the 6%.
It's the date that the contributions commence.
The contributions will commence a pay period, the first full pay period following the effective date of the state law, and it will apply to everyone except. It will apply to all the non-reps immediately and elected officials. It will apply to AFSCME immediately. It will not apply to public safety workers ever because the law doesn't apply to them. The five unions that have contracts, it cannot apply to them while they have contracts, but will apply to them beginning 1/1/12.
Yeah. No, I'm aware of all that.
I guess I'm not getting your question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the question was, why is it that we can implement the changes on health care but not pension immediately? Why do we have to wait for the enactment of the budget repair bill to apply the pension contribution changes to non-represented employees?
Everything in front of you on this resolution depends on the enactment of the budget repair bill. The health changes to AFSCME cannot take place until that law is effective. None of this can take place until that law is effective.
I think the answer to Supervisor Rice is because when we did the budget this year, that was the number the board set. And the board policy is effective until the state law overrides what we did and increases the amount for non-reps. I think that's the answer to that question.
Okay, but it's a contrary answer to what I heard was that there's some impact in the budget bill, and not in our action, but there's something in the budget bill that prohibits us from doing that now.
Only the fact that we had a different policy in the budget. The board already passed on the non-rep piece. Our policy set it at 4%, not 6%. So we could, I guess the answer is we could do it, but that would be different than the policy set in the budget by the board.
And my question wasn't the percentage. The question, again, was the commencement date and why we have to wait until the enactment of the budget repair bill to have the pension contribution go into effect.
Madam Chair, the pension contribution for non-reps is in effect now.
Right.
The 2% is in effect, and it's going up to 3 and going up to 4. That is in effect now and is being taken now.
That was my original question.
But at the rate set by the board.
At the rate set by the board. The increased contribution under the law cannot take effect until the law is in effect under the state law. I'm sorry for the misunderstanding.
My other question, throughout the resolution, there's reference to Act 10. And the question that I have is, in the event that the changes are enacted, but under the auspices of a new bill, what happens to our action?
Madam Chair, if, for example, this law, State WIS Act 10, does never becomes law, and these changes are placed in the biennial budget, for example, we have no choice but to come back and ask you to amend, to do a new resolution with a new reference. I couldn't think of a way to write this without a reference to a state law, a specific state law. I don't know how else to do it.
Supervisor Rice is still
okay. All right. Thank you. I was just envisioning that we could make reference to changes in state law without anticipated changes in state law without referencing the specific act number, but at any rate, hopefully that will not need to be addressed, and sooner rather than later we'll have the enactment of the bill become law. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Madam Chair, I will between now and board day go back, give that some more consideration, see if there's a way we can do that so that we would avoid that possibility. I'm not sure we can, but I'll take another look at it.
Thank you. Just kind of a belt and suspender.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Supervisor Schmidt?
Yes, I just would make a comment I made at Finance is that all these changes we have passed already in 2010 and 2011 to non-reps. What this would do would allow us to do to ask it. And because I'm getting calls on this too in a couple areas. The first area was, you know, what happens to furlough days, and that's answering this resolution. Because we, in lieu of the conditions that us non-reps all took, which ASME didn't take the 2 to 1.6, et cetera, the things we have the resolution we're all familiar with, they were given 26 furlough days. So I presume until something happens, that those will have to commence, and I'm looking for more information on that coming out too, so people will be aware of that, okay, that these are in effect for the union reps then, specifically ASME, because the other five unions and the nurses already have taken these. And then the retiree thing you mentioned also, because I'm getting calls on that too for clarification, I think you answered that yesterday too, but maybe you could answer it again, is that any changes that would come into to the retirees, we would have to publish this and give them 30 days notice before anything could enact. That's just by the retiree health care, which they would increase the co-pays and deductibles. So I just want to make that clarification also, and so that's involved. So I'd be done then. Thank you.
Mr. Green.
Maybe Mr. Hanchek, I think, could speak more accurately to the health care changes, but there is a time lag to the effect of the health care changes, no matter what health care change you make. I believe it's 30 days in the first of the month.
So I guess my purpose, again, people calling and I'm telling them, don't worry about anything. Do everything you've been doing. Everything is the same. You go to your doctors. Your co-pays are the same. Nothing has changed until this actual change comes about. So people are concerned, should I change? No, you don't have to do anything. And nothing has changed until actually the SB 10 repair bill, whatever you want to call it, is passed, and then all this will go into action. That's the reason of this resolution.
Mr. Matsky?
Thank you.
The Employee Benefits Work Group and other people had been working on a question and answer document we had gotten out, the first document of that. We're planning later today to get out the updated version of that, which would talk about the changes that are included here. There's a new section that's added that talks about the health care changes, the overtime changes, furlough days would be ended, and also that the effective date, in essence, is on hold at the moment. So that will be going out to employees this afternoon to provide more information. We thought that through that document we could get an update.
Madam Chair, one clarification.
Sure.
And just to make sure this is clarified also, too, that if indeed this would be enacted, okay, then the furlough days go away. Is that correct also? That's what I've been telling people, so that better be right.
Pro-rata, yes.
Yeah, pro-rata, of course, yeah.
In other words, if they haven't taken 13 days yet, they still have to take 13. Yes.
Yeah, that's understood. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Supervisor Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a couple questions. First, on the revised resolution, and I obviously haven't had a chance to kind of go through it yet very much, or to cross-check it with the other original one as much. But I understand the be it resolved clause on line 72 to 75. We're dealing with the 26 furlough days. I understand that. I guess what I want to double-check is that is there anything in the ordinance changes in this resolution that would prohibit Milwaukee County in 2012 from the county executive or the county as a whole utilizing furlough days in 2012? I don't mean to be a messenger of doom and gloom, but we have some major fiscal challenges on the horizon. So is this limited to the 2011 adopted budget, or is it preventing furlough days into 2012?
Madam Chair, Supervisor DeBruin, this clearly is directed at the 26 furlough days in the 2011 adopted budget, as noted in line 72 and 73. It would not prevent the county executive making any changes in the future that he needs to make under his authority.
And so in 2000, so if there was a financial crisis for 2012 from the state or from whatever, that the county executive still would have that authority to use that as one of multiple options. Okay.
Madam Chair, yes.
And then on the report on page 24, which is really the highlight of the recommendation of the work group, implementing the 1.6 multiplier in the age 64 retirement, it's in there that that's being delayed because there needs to be an actuarial report and pension study commission review. When do you anticipate that that would be coming forward?
Madam Chair, we've been working on it some time. Outside counsel has been working on it. There are some tax considerations. There's some other considerations. There's consideration with respect to the OBRA pension plan that we have to study and how or whether we're going to implement the changes for the OBRA plan. All I can tell you is my hope is next cycle. My guess is actually June cycle. But we're doing it as fast as we can, is all I can tell you.
But there is an intent to bring it back.
Oh, absolutely. The only other difficulty is the actuary, in addition to doing the report later in this meeting, is in the middle of his valuation report, his annual valuation report as well. And so then the more things we throw onto his lap, the more difficult it is for him to meet his deadlines. But
okay.
So.
And then the Medicare Part B changes, that's also not in here. Has the work group planning to do the same thing with that, or where are we on that?
I believe the work group plans to bring that forward at a later date. We haven't really finished discussing that. It is adopted county policy in
right.
the budget, and so I'm anticipating that we would probably bring that forward. The way the county board adopted that for non-represented employees is essentially a three-month window, for lack of a better word. You gave people 3 or 4 months notice that that change was coming. If you follow that same policy, you'll have plenty of time to do that once we know the effective date. And so I think we can probably wait till we actually know what's happening with the state law and then bring that forward at that point.
And that's one of the reasons I was asking about it. I do believe that you do need to, especially for some of these changes, you need to give a little notification time, and whether that's 3 months or whatever the time frame is, that's, I think, optional. But I do think we need to give one. On the other hand, I really think that regardless of the pros and cons of what's happened at the state level with the SB 10, the bottom line is the county now has an opportunity to try and have more parity between our non-represented and our largest group of unionized employees. And I don't want to see that lost. If the bill is going to go into effect, then most of these changes were ones that county board and county government already had attempted to implement for several years. These are not brand new changes, and I mean, there's a few that are brand new. The 6% pension multiplier and some of the others. But I just want to make sure that we still get these adopted. And then my last question is kind of a broader one on when the dates of the implementation come out. For example, the pension multiplier, et cetera. Will there be additional actuarial studies for what the impact is going to be on those based on the implementation date, or are we doing one report at this point to kind of cover all contingencies?
Madam Chair, as we propose changes to the pension ordinances, there will be actuarial reports to go with any
for
of those
one.
Changes.
Okay.
And a pension study commission meetings for each one. Whether they're done in one report or a series of reports is left, we'll have to wait and see on that. The 1.6 multiplier change, you did receive a report from the actuary at the
right.
time it was done for non-represented employees that included the savings from doing it to everyone. Now, that'll have to be updated. It'll be analyzed probably in AFSCME and then the five other unions, and then the effective dates will affect the savings. But you've heard some of that already, but you will get another report and another opportunity each time we make a change to the pension ordinance to have an actuarial report.
Okay, so just to be clear, pension multiplier retirement age, you're hoping to have a report by the June cycle, hopefully at the latest. Medicare Part B, hopefully at the same time, maybe another cycle or whatever for people to continue consider. The reason I specifically bring up Medicare Point B is when I read it, it looked like from the writing, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, that there was more of a softness as to whether or not that's ever going to be proposed. And I think that as long as it's county policy, I would hope that once you have enough to deal with, but at some point we get to that and have something coming from the study group.
No, and the work group is not intending to make or change any policy of the county board.
Okay.
And we are trying, we have a list, and we are trying to work through the list, and we are trying to bring forward everything that the county board has adopted in its budget. The county board may, obviously, at any time change its own mind about policy for whatever reason, but we do intend to bring all those things forward as we can.
And I have one last generic question. The I'm getting calls from obviously some DC 48 folks, and one of the, and obviously the governor's bill was very emotional. And their primary question is, why is the county adopting these changes now? They understand that it's waiting upon the adoption of the state law, but they don't understand why the county seems to be jumping at the bit, as one person used described to me, to seem to be in support of the changes. And my response has been back that for the vast majority of these, they were already in our 2010 budget. The county on its own had been trying to seek some of these changes, and 2011 budget. Is there any other reason that has been that I'm skipping by that description?
Madam Chair, there is another reason, and that's the fiscal reason. If you wait for the adoption or the effective date of the state law and then bring it to a cycle of the county board after that, you're going to very likely, depending on the timing, but very likely lose 1 month of savings from the adoption of the health plan, for example. And 1 month of savings for the health plan, I'm guessing, is about $500,000. Ms. Paul can speak to that.
Madam Chair, Supervisors,
I
think the number I've heard is around $400,000. I apologize, I don't have the exact number on the top of my head, but I believe it's about $400,000 of savings that we would lose each month that this is not in effect.
Is that real savings or budgeted? Because we budgeted more savings in our budget than we had actual in reality, because we hadn't negotiated contracts that had gotten those. So is it budgetary savings, or which would actually, that would actually then be a higher number?
If you like Mr. Mansky.
I'd love Mr.
The $400,000 that she's referring to is the health care changes for the retirees.
Oh, okay.
That was referred to and approved by the board last month.
Okay.
That was the $400,000. The dollar amount for the active employees is a lesser amount than that. I'd have to get back to you on what that amount is. But that's those estimates were based upon a study that Cambridge had been done and that Employee Benefits had reviewed of the changes both for 2010 and 2011, the health care changes that were made.
Okay.
So those are the amounts that the changes were. Right now, for most of for the active employees, the changes from 2010, the health care, pension, and the other things are being offset by the furlough days for those types of items. But for the retirees, their health care changes, those changes would provide savings to the county. The county still has items within its budget for 2011, including certain pension changes and certain other health care changes, which are in the budget for 2011, which the county indicated that it was looking for some offsets to those items. Those items are not offset by furlough days. Those items were to be offset by other possible means, meaning that maybe we were going to hold positions vacant from the retirements that had occurred. So the county still has to, you know, without the budget bill being passed, the county still has to deal with those items. The feeling was is that if some of these items were adopted, then we wouldn't have to do, you know, additional furlough days, layoffs. We could fill the positions that were there. So that was the intent of putting some of these things through to prepare for that so that we can still do with the 2011 changes. The 2010 changes that weren't adopted, furlough days are offsetting those right now. The 2011 changes, the offset for those was going to be looked at during the year of what are we going to do. And the hope would be that if the budget repair bill is passed, then we'd be able to offset some of those items with these other changes.
And then,
Mr. Maskey, the chart gives us a health care plan changes of just under 600,000, so about 100,000 per month. Would that be your number?
Yeah.
Thank you. The only other comment that I just wanted to make was that while it's very clear that both the administration and members of the county board through the different committees recognize that SB 10 is not technically in effect, I do think it's interesting, and constituents have noted this as well, that it seems like Milwaukee County does anticipate that it will go into effect. And the reason is because you don't do all this work and all these actuarial studies and all this preparation if you don't think it is eventually going to go into effect. So that has also been an issue with folks. But it is very clear with all the work that's been done that at least there's some assumption that that's what's going to happen. And obviously if it doesn't go into effect, then we have to make sure that the wheels on this train stop. So the bottom line is, are we... I'm assuming we're continuing with the provisions in here that if the bill does not go into effect or it becomes radically different, obviously all this is not implemented.
The current assumptions when we're doing financial analysis for 2011 right now is that it won't go through, so we have to make those estimates based upon that fact.
Okay.
Because there will be very little time frame in which when the effective date happens, we'll have to allow, you know, a month for the health care changes to go through. We'll have to allow time to bring back any additional changes. We're trying to prep some of these things ahead of time to deal with the 2011 issues if they don't occur. But under our current assumptions right now, when we're doing financial analysis, we're assuming that they're not going to go through. We're going to ask for departments to give us a report based upon their April results to tell us where they're at fiscally for the year. But one of the issues that we're going to be indicating to you here are the, as I said, 2010 is changes, health care, pension, those are being offset by furlough days now. However, certain other changes in 2011, those weren't addressed. So we're going to be telling you in a fiscal report saying these items still have to be addressed and this is the shortfall of where we're at for 2011. You know, under the assumption that the budget repair bill will not be changed. We'll be asking the departments to report their numbers under the assumption that the budget repair bill will not be changed. That's the analysis we're going through. So we're trying to prepare on one hand, you know, to get the savings that we can so that we can offset some of the items in the 2011 budget that are not being addressed right now if that does occur. However, if that doesn't occur, then we're going to have to come back to the committees and say, look, we still have these items. What do we want to do in order to deal with them?
I appreciate that clarification. I think that's an important distinction that we're fiscally, budgetarily making the assumption, which is a more conservative assumption, that these savings are not occurring, at least in much time to have an effect, but that we're actually, what I was actually speaking more toward was the assumption or the likelihood of the assumption that we needed to prepare for these changes, and that I'm very comfortable with that kind of two-pronged approach. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Supervisor Borkowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's not what I wanted to talk about, but I guess, I think the department is darned if they do, darned if they don't, because if they don't anticipate it happening, then there'll be somebody on this board that's going to go after someone like Mr. Maskey and say, why didn't you anticipate? So, I mean, come on. I think we need to be a little bit more fair around here. My original points dealt with retirees. And I have not heard anybody say that we're going to do a Q&A for them as far as a letter, as far as what this means, et cetera, et cetera. And I would also suggest that someone from DAS or wherever goes to the retirees meeting. I know that they've had different people from the county, from county government speak there literally in front of all of those people answer questions, and also develop a letter for their newsletter, or develop a note for their newsletter so that everybody gets that. There is rampant rumors going on. One talks to another, and then before you know it, you know, all of a sudden, you know, there's no more roof on their house. So I would say that whatever we can do to help the communication with the retirees especially, that whatever, I'm just going to be aggressive with that.
Mr. Hinch.
Madam Chair, with regards to communication to the retirees, you're exactly right. And what we have queued up, ready to go, is a targeted communication to the specific retirees who are impacted, letting them know exactly what their changes are. The only thing that's holding that up right now is knowing the effective date. So we have that ready to go once we have an adoption date for the bill, assuming we have one. We would enter in that date and we send a letter directly to all of their homes.
Just to clarify that, there is a requirement for a notice on that Part B change based on what we were advised by legal counsel. There's not necessarily a legal notice requirement, but in fact the county is doing a question and answer notice for both current employees and any changes with regard to retirees other than the Part B. Is that a correct description?
Madam Chair, with regard to health care, my area of expertise, we don't have a required notice period on the plan changes. As a matter of what I consider best practice, when we start our 30-day lead-in on implementation, we have simultaneously sent communication letting people know what the changes are. The idea is to give them that 30 days, but it's certainly not required of the health care plan.
But you are doing it anyway.
Correct.
Okay. Mr. Schrader.
Yes, I just wanted to address your point, that is that on May 11th, we have a pre-retirement session scheduled. We should have a couple hundred people there, and we are going to address the repair bill and common questions and answers relating to retirement.
Okay.
We also are going to be doing a communicator update for retirees, letting them know about the major issues and questions and answers.
Okay. Okay.
Madam Chair, thank you. I'm most concerned about those that have already retired. Those that are you know are in the process. They're gonna know all this stuff. It's the people that you know have been with us for 20 years plus or whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We'll be doing that in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you both. Supervisor Sanfilippo and then Supervisor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The changes that are included in this resolution just handed out to us, were those changes included in what was approved by Finance yesterday?
Yes. The blue, you mean the blueprint?
The blueprint and the green.
Yes,
right.
We have revised.
Right.
Okay. Then I'll like to move that we concur with Finance.
All right. Thank you. Supervisor Blue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to briefly clarify something because I think Supervisor Borkowski referenced my comments. I actually am... To not anticipate those changes in the state law, I think, would be unwise by Milwaukee County. I was trying to state some of the concerns I'd heard from some of the people I represent, some of the county employees I represent, but I believe that very strongly that you need to move forward. And if it was implied or read into my comments that somehow I was criticizing the department for doing so, that's not correct. I was actually trying to get some assistance in helping explain to some of my constituents to whom this issue is very emotional as to why Milwaukee County would be moving forward. And I got that clarification, the fiscal piece of it, the lag time, as well as the as well as some of the explanations I had given. So if people are reading into those comments, please read them in to actually be supportive of how the administration is moving forward. Thank you.
Anyone else? All right, we have a motion to concur with Finance.
Borkowski.
Aye.
DeBruin.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Rice.
Aye.
Sanfilippo.
Aye.
Madam Chair.
Aye.
6 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to concur with Finance and Audit is approved.
Thank you.